Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Barkley, the single setback. Ertz to Barkley, off left tackle. He's across the 45, hello. 50, 45, 40. He's going to go! Saquon Barkley finally explodes! 65 yards!
Hello.
Where have you been, 26?
That is the kind of roar from the crowd we haven't seen and heard around here all season when it comes to Saquon breaking it around the left side. And once he had that giant safety flat-footed, it was over 65 yards to the house, as it was called yesterday, by the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, who joins us right now, as he does every Monday, a Merrill Monday, as the Eagles move to 6-2, heading into the bye. Good morning, Merrill.
Morning, guys. What a nice morning today. It feels so good after a win like
yes,
that.
Yes, it does.
It does, Merrill. And it was their best game of the season, Merrill, from all perspectives. Throwing the ball, running the ball, the defense. Let's start with that run game, Merrill, which all year it just felt like it couldn't get going. And then yesterday, I could sense, I'm sure you could, I could hear it in your voice in the call, the first drive of the game, Saquon breaks it, and it felt like, all right, maybe today's going to be a different day on the ground.
Yeah, You could see it. You could see there was daylight and some big blocks around the edge, and then he just took off. I mean, it's never been a question about Saquon. Did he lose speed? Is he not the same? That's never been the question. It's been much of it has had to do with the performance by the offensive line, and for various reasons, including injuries, of course, it hasn't been what it was last year. But yesterday there were some real big holes. And the Eagles took advantage not only with Saquon, but Tank Bigsby came in and gained 100 yards.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, I agree with you. The offensive line, it was their best game. They were dominant, and that's a good Giants front. So they pushed them around all day. But Merrill, Tank Bigsby, when they made that trade for him, you know, about a month ago, and they gave up two draft picks, I was a little bit confused at why. Not that he's not a decent player, but like that's not a small price to pay two draft picks. We only saw him as a kick returner primarily the first couple weeks, but
that clearly wasn't his thing.
Right, right. And Merrill, you could clearly see that he's got some juice as a runner. That I think it was. What, 2nd and 26, and he ran for 29? That was a ridiculous run.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts had just been sacked for a loss of 21 yards, and we're figuring, well, you've got to just go long and see if you can catch somebody open. And instead, Bigsby burst around the outside and just kept going. He was amazing to pick up a first down on the ground like that.
It absolutely was. He was great. And Merrill, I think it's time to give some credit to Kevin Petullo. You know, there was a lot of criticism and some of it.
A lot of Petullo haters out there.
Quite fair, right? The first month was choppy and he's a new coordinator, so we're wondering what that learning curve is for him. But Merrill, there's been an adjustment here. You know, they had that 10-day break from that first Giants game, but you kind of watched the last two games more under center, play action throws over the middle. There was even a halfback screen yesterday. It feels like Petullo's starting to evolve here as a play caller.
Well, let's say the offense is starting to evolve, and it takes time to develop. Kevin Petullo is a very, very bright guy. He knows football. He's been the passing coordinator for 4 years. I mean, he didn't just arrive and learn what it's like to be in the NFL. Kevin Petullo knows what he's doing, but now the offense is really starting to evolve, and they've done a lot of different things in the last couple of weeks. Hurts is lining up under center, and that puts play action into the playbook, and a lot of good things are happening.
Merrill Reese with us here, the voice of the Eagles. Merrill, you mentioned Jalen Hurts under center. Whether it's under center or it's shotgun or pistol, the last few games have been excellent. Merrill, he's the third Eagles quarterback since the merger to have a passer rating of 140-plus in back-to-back games. Only Nick Foles and Randall Cunningham did it. How about the play of Jalen Hurts? And Merrill, do you think he belongs in the midseason MVP conversation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe not from a numbers standpoint, but he's just a great player. He really is a great player, and we've seen that. I mean, he was the Super Bowl MVP. And before that, the Super Bowl in Arizona when they lost to Kansas City, he was still the best player in that game. So he's getting better. Here's a guy who's only 27, and he hasn't reached his peak. He is so good. He's been unappreciated by a lot of people for a long time, and I think that's unfortunate because there's never been anybody more dedicated. He's bright. He's got the arm. People questioned his arm strength at one point. He's got a great arm. I mean, he can throw at any point on the field, and he's one of the best deep passers in football. No, he is a great quarterback, and the Eagles are very, very fortunate to have him.
Merrill, what was your perspective on the tush push that looked like it may have been a fumble, but the whistle was blown to stop the play dead on forward progress there? Because that was still a part of the game where it was in question, right? It was a close game. It was early. Then from there, the Eagles took off and really ran away with the game. But what did you see on that one? Because it looked like a fumble, but of course they had blown the whistle, so the play has to be dead there. Obviously, Brian Daboll did not handle it very well on the sidelines.
Obviously, when the official went over and talked to Daboll and then came back and said to the crowd, and I've never heard an official give this kind of detailed explanation, he said, as I've just explained to the Giants, the play was stopped, and this is not challengeable, and that's it. And then he comes back and Daboll throws the flag. And here he's already been told it's not challengeable. He throws the flag, and with it he threw away another challenge. And he threw away a timeout. That just wasn't bright.
It was a meltdown. I mean, and it summed up the day for that football team. Merrill, let's talk about the defense as well. They were great yesterday. You know, that Giants offense had played kind of well the last few weeks, including against the Eagles. Not yesterday, though. They shut them down until garbage time. I thought the pass rush, Merrill, yesterday as a collective was the best we've seen all year, especially Jalex Hunt. That may have been his best game as a pro.
Yes. They've gotten better. They've gotten better. I still don't think they're totally there yet, but Jackson Dart is a very elusive young quarterback. They've got their guy, I think, for the next several years. I think he's got a bright future, and he's very, very mobile, but the Eagles finally did get to him, and that was good to see.
Merrill, let's end it with this. 6-2 heading into the bye. I think considering the schedule, I mean, those first five games were obviously challenging. I include Denver in that. 6-2 feels like a really good spot for the Eagles to be, both in the division and then just the overall hierarchy of the NFC. And we know coming out of that bye, Merrill, that schedule is going to get tough. Green Bay, Detroit, and then a trip to Dallas right after this bye here.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And each week is a new challenge in the Green Bay game. I watched the Packers last night dismantle Pittsburgh, and they are awfully good, and Jordan Love is playing at a very, very high level. So it's not going to be an easy stretch for the Eagles. But one thing I also want to point out, Joe, if I may, I have never been more proud of the Eagles fans with the class they showed, with the ovation they gave Scataboo as he was carted off the field, the way they stood and the way they applauded. I mean, that was just pure class. So people are always talking about the Eagles fans being tough fans and how tough it is to play in Philadelphia, but they recognize talent and they recognize effort and they recognize that Cam Scataboo is one of the best young players and he gives everything he has. And when he left, they just really cheered. And as pained as he was at the time, he waved to the crowd and thanked them. That just sent chills through everybody's body.
I agree. Well said, Merrill, and we wish him a fast recovery, and hopefully he gets back and is part of this rivalry again really soon here. Merrill, thank you for hopping on. Enjoy the bye week, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Have a good one, Merrill.
There he goes. Merrill Reese, the voice of the Eagles there.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty classy.
It was.
Though.
It was.
You know, because he ran hard, and people, you know, we talked about him for the last couple of weeks, and then when he got hurt, people were were clapping for him. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and that was a gruesome injury. I mean, it's one of those
bad.
Yeah, it's one of those where when the broadcast doesn't want to talk about it or show you a replay, you know it's bad. And you know, if you're someone who is kind of monitoring social media as you watch the game, you'll see it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, just watch the TV broadcast, and they won't show it to you anymore. But if you wanted to see it, if for whatever reason,
I wanted to see it.
Accidentally saw it, it was gross.
I liked the Pro Football Doc tweeted the video and said nobody watched this.
And then that makes you want to watch it.
You tweeted the video.
He knows what he's doing. He's got to get people to watch. That was a tough injury. I mean, you see those every couple of years where it's like, oh no, you got to kind of have to look away. That was tough. But we'll say, hopefully he gets better soon and he's back in the rivalry. What's up?
When they had to pull it back, they put it back in.
Well, then they put that boot on him, right? And then they got him off the field. But they have to reset it. Is that what you're saying?
But they do it the way that they do it. It's like it's violent.
Have you ever been on the field for someone having a gruesome injury?
Not like that, but I've seen when your ankle gets dislocated,
yeah,
they shoot you up really, really good, and then they just pull it back into place. They pop it back in. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was rough. It was just tough to see that. My goodness gracious. 215-592-9490. Let's get back to the phone lines here. Are the Eagles fully back? I believe they are. And the A.J. Brown situation, was it a coincidence that they played their best game without him yesterday? I don't think it was. And I'm not trying to say they'll score 38 every week if he didn't play. But I do think yesterday was a collective, hey, this is about the offense and not about getting the football to one person.
And look at it like this, people, because I am recklessly speculating. I'm gonna put that out there first. But look at the situation that we're in. And I think we kind of talked about it a little bit yesterday. Pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
We need some pass rush, right? We went out and got Brandon Graham off the couch. Like, he's a good piece. And I think that Brandon Graham being in the locker room is a good fit. But just think outside the box for a minute. If we have a guy that is, say he's not happy, he's disgruntled for whatever reason, and we have a chip, a tradable piece. Say, for instance, we talked about Max Crosby last week. What if it was an even flip-flop?
Wow. Proposing AJ for Max Crosby?
No, but what I'm saying is this.
He's going to call in.
It's a yes, by the way. No, if you're asking me if I would do the trade,
But what I'm saying is this. It's like, we are in a situation where this team the defense is somewhat in limbo. We got some young corners that are not playing well, and our pass rush isn't that great. So just think like this for a minute, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. This is me recklessly speculating at 11:11 on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But when you hear, you have to listen to what's being said. You know, because if Mr. Lurie is coming out talking about, you know,
best
for the team, what does that sound like to you? That if there's an offer on the table, say, for instance, if it's Trey Hendrickson, I know he's still hurt. But
he actually did re-aggravate whatever was going on yesterday.
Yeah, he's still hurt. Yeah. But just say, for instance, just thinking out pie in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a legitimate trade for a pass rusher, I mean, I think you have to entertain that conversation.
So you said, see what's being said, okay? And I know people react to reports different ways. Some people see headlines that say they're not trading A.J. Brown. And if you ask me right now, do I think they're going to trade A.J. Brown by next Tuesday? I don't. I think he's going to be here. I think they're going to try to buckle up and get through this season, and then the offseason will be different. But, Hugh, I will read what was written by Diana Rossini and Adam Schefter. Brown could be frustrated all he wants, but this team plays for the ring first. However, GM Howie Roseman will always listen, and if the Eagles get an exorbitant offer, nobody is untradeable in Philadelphia. Then Adam Schefter. The Eagles will be willing to listen to any trade offer, but sources believe Philadelphia would not be willing to part with Brown for anything less than a blockbuster offer. I mean, to me, this weekend was very clear. They do not plan to trade A.J. Brown. But
if
someone,
somebody come with some yes, dollar signs or something that makes sense.
Yeah, right. Like,
think about it.
Howie basically said, I'll answer the calls. I mean, like, if you want to call and make me a huge offer, I will listen. And that tells you everything you need to know. That there's something going on here. They played good football without him yesterday. And if someone came in with Max Crosby, yeah, I think Howie Roseman's going to make that deal, or at least really consider it over the next, 8 days or so. Let's go to Dave in Havertown. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. I want to say Victory Monday is always a good show to listen to with you guys. So, also want to mention, Philadelphia went 4-0 this weekend, which was awesome to see.
How about the Sixers 2-0? Yep, Flyers, and then the Union in the shootout.
That was a tie.
Exactly.
No, they won in the shootout.
I covered the Philadelphia Union playoff game last night, and it was a great atmosphere. Over 18,000 came out. So, actually, this is one of the best chances the Union had to win the championship this year. But back to the Eagles, yeah, it was only a matter of time before we saw Saquon Barkley finally break one, because we know that the Giants were not going to shut him down twice this season. There was no way that was going to happen. And you think the Eagles were going to lose with the Kelly Green uniforms? I don't think so.
I think, are they 4-0 now? I think they're 4-0 in the Kelly Greens. And the next time they're going to wear them, Dave, is in Dallas in a few weeks. So that's, we'll just count that as a victory right now.
Right now.
Exactly. Especially with the question you posed earlier about saying, are the Eagles back? I want to see after they play the Detroit Lions if they're really bad, because the Packers, we're not taking them lightly, because we know the national media is going to be talking about the tush push, Brandon Graham's potential first game back in Lambeau. So there's that, and then you get the Lions on Sunday Night Football as well.
Well, in those 6 days, Dave, the Monday night against Green Bay, and Dave, good phone call, man. The Monday night against Green Bay and the Sunday night here against Detroit, it's probably going to determine the Eagles' seeding in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like those, if they go 1-1, okay. If they go 2-0, they're very likely to be the number one overall seed again. If they go 0-2, then there's no way they're going to be the one seed.
It does feel like the next box to check.
Yep.
Like, dominate a bad team, good. And now, have they beaten good teams? Yeah, they have. But you kind of want to see one where they put together a full four quarter. Like, I guess, like the Ravens win last year.
Mm-hmm.
Where they go out, beat a good team, and look really good doing so.
I think, I forget who it was. It was Chris in the first hour mentioned it kind of like last year, where October they had a soft schedule, right? It was Giants, Browns, Jaguars.
Yeah.
But it got them ready for November, yep. Which last year was what? Commanders, Rams, Ravens, those
kind
of teams?
Yeah, the group that Hugh called tomato cans.
Exactly, which was dead wrong in a total
line. Weren't even remotely.
Tomato cans.
So would you say now that the November schedule this year with the Packers and Lions are tomato cans?
Yeah. No, I think the Lions is going to be a huge test. Force.
Well, the Packers.
Well, I hear you on the Packers, but I think the Lions are going to be the test. They've been playing physical the whole season.
Is it the Bears after that stretch,
it's
or Cowboys?
Then Bears.
So the next natural follow up is Hugh goes on Chicago radio, and after we go 3-0 and that
I'm
stretch,
not talking
then
to nobody.
He's going to tell them that
I'm not talking to
none
of them. Can't nobody call me and ask me to talk about nothing because I
know
how
we're listening.
Because y'all are petty. Y'all like to do mean and hurtful
or
things.
Or you could have apologized to the audience.
I ain't apologizing to nobody.
You basically in the greatest Eagle season of all time, you pretended their best wins were against the Mannequins.
I am not. They were against Comedians.
No, they were.
They weren't.
They were.
You mentioned the fact that the teams that the Eagles have played throughout this 8-game win streak have been tomato cans.
You just wanted to play that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what we tried to do. Let's go to Gina in Medford. Hey, Gina.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good morning, Gina. What's up?
Oh, so first-time caller, but very long-time listener, that's for sure.
Oh, we appreciate that, Gina. What are you feeling this morning after a good win yesterday?
Well, let me tell you what I'm feeling. I'm feeling great about the game yesterday, but from the very beginning, I usually can tell if they're going to have a great game or not, or be in it or not be in it, based on, like, even the first series can tell you a lot, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I felt as though this A.J. Brown dilemma that you kind of have is told a lot yesterday. I've never seen – I don't think it was a coincidence that they put the whole game together yesterday without him. I think that it was purposeful. I think that the whole entire team, from start to finish, special teams, defense, offense, the line, coaching, play calling, et cetera, was freely done yesterday without any pressure whatsoever, that Jalen Hurts didn't have to drop back. He didn't have to force looks to see where A.J. Brown was, forcing it in between three people, whatever. They stuck with the running game. They didn't go two times. And then when it didn't work, just go away from it and go to the pass. And I understand in the other games they had to do that because they were down or whatever. But it just wasn't then. And when I used to coach basketball on a varsity level around here in Medford, and I had somebody like that on my team. And I know it's not much of a comparison, but I'll tell you, it destroys a team. It makes you walk on eggshells. And I just feel like that's what was going on with this team. They were happy yesterday. They were light. They were their old selves again, playing out there. And I just feel like it's too coincidental that he wasn't playing and they had the whole game put together from, you know, weeks ago, that they were starting to get it together and click a little bit. But it wasn't all there, and it wasn't the liveliness that I've that I saw
yesterday.
Gina,
I agree with you. I think there was a freeness to the way the offense ran, the pass game ran, the way Jalen Hurts played. It just felt to me like if I didn't know anything, if I hadn't watched this team for all these years, and you just told me, hey, today they're without a receiver who seems to be annoyed he's not getting the football, and then I watched the game, I would have said, oh, it seemed like they just threw to the open guy and didn't worry about, we got to get this guy a certain amount of targets today.
Exactly, and that's the way I felt, and I think the whole team appreciates that. And as I said, from kind of being there on my little level, is that everyone walks on eggshells. Every missed pass, every not good run is a big deal when you have that, like, person on your team that is just judging every single spoken word from a coach or every little thing someone doesn't do on the team, if they run a wrong route or if they don't get a yard or something like that. It was very evident to me, and I just saw the freeness in them yesterday, and they were happy again, and it wasn't a forced happiness. It was like light and airy, and even when the game was within reach, you could see their happiness out there and their camaraderie again.
There's no question about that, Gina, but today is Messy Monday, so if you want to name that player that was that negative Nancy on your basketball team, feel free to do so right now and just call that person out so that wherever they were that person.
Oh, God, they were that person. But I still do a lot in this community with the game, and I just wouldn't feel right doing
that. Gina's a grown-up. She's a grown-up, Hugh, unlike some of us.
Well, this is a Messy Monday.
Yeah, it is a Messy Monday.
If you feel like calling back and just mentioning the name, just let us know.
Gina, call again. Don't be a stranger. That's a good phone call. She gets it. She gets it.
What's that?
What's it?
You got to name names. When people are doing stuff like that, you got to call
them
out.
No, you can't do that. Look, she's a coach. And I bet, you know what? The wide receiver is comparable to the superstar in basketball. Need my touches. Need my shots. Need the ball. When you have a player on a basketball team that needs the ball, it makes the whole operation harder, even if they're great. It makes it just more challenging. Yesterday, I just saw an offense that the ball went wherever the ball went, and there's no one. It's like she said, I think she used the term walking on eggshells, and no one looked like that yesterday.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, kind of was looking for it. Was kind of wondering how it was going to play out.
You knew, and you said because, yesterday it was going to be one or the other. They're either going to struggle or dominate.
Because it's going to, that's how it works. And it was just interesting to see. I guess it was a heightened thing because Schmitty did his thing.
Yep.
Saquon got off. He did his thing yesterday.
So Goddard, two tutties. How about
two tutties on National Tight End Day? National Tight End Day?
It was National Tight End Day. Did you have your tight end touchdown parlay?
But you know what's funny? You know what's funny? Ike was like, he was sitting there talking. He said, hey, it's National Tight Ends Day. We need to get the tight end involved. And boom, right after he said that.
You ready for this? Down. Listen to this on Dallas Goedert. So he has 7 touchdowns now.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2015, last 10 years, only 3 tight ends have had 7 touchdowns in their first 7 games of a season. You ready for these names?
I'm listening.
Dallas Goedert now.
Mm-hmm.
The other two, Travis Kelce in 2022 and Rob Gronkowski in 2015.
Yeah, that's a nice little company to be in, man.
That's Hall of Fame company for Dallas Goedert. Remember all that nonsense during the offseason where it felt like he was going to be gone? I'm sure glad we kept Dallas Goedert. He is a good football player.
Took a little bit of a pay cut.
It did.
Yeah. But he can't, he did his thing.
It never made sense to me that the Eagles and Goddard would part ways. Like, they need him, and he's still a big factor. And he's been money in the red zone. And they've really been good in the red zone the entire season. It's everything else that's starting to flow now. 215-592-9494. Let's react to the win yesterday. The Eagles get to 6-2 with the bye. Apparently, it's a messy Monday around here.
Messy Monday.
Was it a coincidence that the Eagles' offense looked its best yesterday without A.J. Brown? It wasn't to me. I don't think that was a coincidence. I think that it was purposeful in every single way. Are your phone calls? Are the Eagles fully back here? Plus, we'll let you hear from some of the players on Sirianni's messaging this week as they look for revenge over the Giants, and they certainly got it. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Fall is here. And you know what that means, people. That's comfort food and tailgates. Nothing brings heat to your table like Hatfield Recipe Essentials Chorizo. Now picture this, some cheesy chorizo sitting on your table or some cheesy chorizo in your chili on them cold winter days or those cold tailgate days. Who knows? With Hatfield, you're getting flavor you can trust because they put better care into every step for better pork on your plate. Find recipes at simplyhatfield.com. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas. Joe Gillio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494, and a victory Monday, the most complete and best game of the Eagles season. Was it a coincidence that the star wide receiver wasn't on the field for it? We're talking about that, and of course, are the Eagles fully back? It feels like it to me. I mean, the defense yesterday, that pass rush got revved up. I thought it was the best game Jalen Hurts played in the NFL. Ojomo, you know, Ojomo's up to 4 sacks now? It kind of came out of nowhere. I was like, whoa.
It only take a couple games. Sacks come in bunches. Yeah. My coach used to tell me that all the time. Sacks come in bunches.
Jalen Carter got his first yesterday. Yeah. Bond's always involved in it.
Jordan Davis has a career high already, which is 3.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, they haven't got it from the edges, but in total, they've gotten it together because that interior has done it. You know, the more I watched yesterday, and we know BG didn't even play, the more I'm steadfast, the corner should be the number one thing. I mean, I'm not going to turn down a Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson, but I think they have enough pass rush collectively. They need another corner a week from tomorrow with the NFL trade deadline. All right, Hugh, before we get back to phone lines, there was a lot of talk this past week about the revenge factor, right? The Giants beat up on the Eagles 2 weeks ago, a chance at revenge. And, you know, there was some discussion on whether or not Sirianni would kind of play up how much the Giants celebrated in New York 2 weeks ago. Well, it sounded like Sirianni took a little bit of a different approach to the revenge factor for his football team heading into the game. Let's start with Saquon Barkley talking about revenge and how Sirianni framed it to them.
It's always great to win. It's always great to be a division rival. You know, for sure, we definitely saw how they celebrated and, you know, when they beat us last time. But I think one of my favorite things Coach Sirianni says is, you know, the revenge mindset that lasts for 5 minutes and then it goes back to your habits. And we know we focus on our habits and detailed and, you know, TDT, play to our standard. You know, we'll be happy with the outcome. So got the win, going to a bye. You know, good to get away from each other for a little bit also and get things rolling after.
So Saquon talking about the message there, which is revenge, that mindset only lasts for a few minutes. You got to focus on the details. Obviously, the message resonated. Listen to Josh Uche in a separate interview saying something very similar to Sirianni's message this past week.
Speak about wanting to be more physical against this Giants team. Didn't want to say a rematch, but kind of a rematch. How did you come out so much more physical?
Yeah, I think we understood that revenge is a temporary emotion. Discipline, focus, and intensity lasts a lot longer. So we came into the game just one play at a time, focus on the game plan and focus on the details, and, you know, look up at the end, we'll be exactly where you want to be.
And it was really clear that was Nick Sirianni's message to the team. He kept saying revenge is temporary. I think you hear those buzzwords all the time with coaches. Why do Sirianni stick so much with the team?
I think the passion he brings in team meetings, just making sure he emphasizes those things. And I think the connection he has with the guys, the way he speaks to us, it's almost like a player coach almost, you know, and I think it resonates with the guys. And when we're out there on the field, we understand it, the message and the importance of each and every play. And I think it just starts from training camp, OTAs, all the way till now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here, what'd you make of Sirianni saying, yeah, revenge is great, that last 5 minutes, let's focus on the details and get the victory at the end? Be honest.
Okay.
What's your take
on it?
I'm
going to be honest.
Yeah.
With all due respect to our Super Bowl winning coach.
That's right.
That's a lie. I don't believe that. What have we known and said about Coach Sirianni the whole time he's been here? That he don't know how to act on the sideline.
He's petty.
So now you're sitting here and trying to tell me that that man who was just on the sideline this weekend jumping up and down after he saw a Saquon Barkley run play is telling fools that we're going to sit here and not go with the revenge factor. Do you really believe that?
I think you have to realize there's two Sirianni's. There is Nick Sirianni, and that's the guy that is on the sidelines screaming at the crowd, going up and chanting for Frank Reich, fighting Peter and Maple Shade. That's Nick. Coach Sirianni, Hugh, that's buttoned up. He's got team messages. That's a different guy.
I like how I do respect the fact that the team echoed the sentiment of the coach.
That, to me, tells me it's the message is getting through.
Yeah, but I don't believe that.
Well, it works. I think of course it is.
I think that there are two different messages. Like, hey, you know, F the Giants, we kicked their butt, they did it, but when they ask you about it, this is what we're going to say.
Oh,
I believe
stop.
That.
There's no acting. They're either acting.
Yes. Yes.
Not way.
I believe, you know what, man, when you care that much about somebody like these guys care about Nick Sirianni, you do that.
They couldn't rush for 100 yards for six straight weeks, but they can act. I mean, come on.
No, what I'm talking about is the fact that they weren't thinking about this game as revenge.
So, but I think his message was that is a great way to start the week, but the details will lead us to the revenge.
What was after that they played? Was that the week they played There's No Easy Way Out? There's No Shortcut Home?
That was after the loss.
The loss to the Giants,
yes.
Correct?
Yep.
Sure.
So where did that come from?
Well, they listen to our show, obviously.
Where did
we know where that came from.
What's the one song? Many Men Wish Death on Me?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. No, well, I agree. It doesn't really, like, Sirianni doesn't seem too much like a practice what you preach kind of guy.
Come on, man.
I mean, he's counting sacks during the Super Bowl for the Chiefs because of 2 years ago when they put it on a t-shirt that we didn't have any.
He holds grudges.
The Frank Reich thing.
No.
Yelling at Chiefs fans. You brought those up. And then the even yelling at Eagles fans after the Browns game.
Listen, yeah. I get it.
He's petty.
I get it. You're supposed to be a certain way. In like what they say, you have two masks. You have a different mask that everybody gets to see, like your true self, and then the one that you want to present to the people.
I think Sirianni really – I was kidding when I said there's Nick and then there's Coach Sirianni. There really is. Like,
no, but that – and that's okay.
Yeah.
That is okay. But you're not about to sit here and tell me that ass whooping that you took to the Giants – set okay with you let it go 5 minutes away. No.
So here's why I think, as long as the team is buying into each version of him.
And that's fine.
And listening to each version, that's cool.
That's fine.
Do they have a bracket of Sirianni's?
There are, yeah.
No, but I'm saying that's fine. You don't have to sit here and lie to me. You can lie to y'all.
But it is interesting. Both guys brought that up unprompted, different interviews.
Yes, but because,
it hit.
Because football, and I've said this before, is the biggest brainwash job that you have. Think about this now when we go back into training camp next year. How many times we do interviews with people and they say almost the same thing.
And the Eagles under Sirianni typically do it. That's, he's good at
that
it.
It does say a lot that they parrot, like this isn't the first instance of them parroting messages that Sirianni.
Remember yes. Jason Kelce a few years ago said, I think when he was on with the morning show, that Sirianni is the best team meeting coach he's ever. And look, he had Andy Reid. He had Doug Peterson. Forget Chip. But like he had two very successful NFL coaches. I mean, Andy Reid's one of the great coaches in the history of the sport. You know, that says something. So whatever he says in those meetings, I mean, what is it now? Is it 4 years ago now, the flower speech around this time of the year?
Yeah.
I mean, like, we could roll our eyes if it works for them. That is literally
and
all that matters.
That's the thing, man. That's the thing you have to understand. When it's in that locker room, whatever, we fall in lockstep with whatever coach is preaching. And that's why when he sit there and say, oh, no, we didn't preach. Yes, you did. I have never been around a coach that said, hey, we got our ass kicked. Turn the other cheek. Don't worry about it. It's okay. No, you go get that get back. So when I hear them say that, I hear you. I understand that that's the message that coach wants to get out to the masses. But don't nobody believe that.
I think this one made sense to me. Like the revenge is like that only lasts for the first few minutes. Then you have to play well, right? You have to do the details.
No, you go out
otherwise,
there and execute.
Your revenge won't work.
But don't see you go out there and execute and they did that.
Yeah, right.
They were focused and they did their thing and they didn't get out, they didn't move off their square. But revenge was definitely on your mind. It was definitely on your mind.
Yeah, it was just how they're going to get there.
You want to be – like, you don't want to be that individual that when you have revenge strictly on your mind, you just lose completely control.
Exactly.
You know, it was controlled violence, yeah. Controlled anger.
It worked. Yeah. I mean, they dominated the football game yesterday. 215-592-9494. Jeff in Wilmington up on WIP. Hey, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
Whether or not Sirianni said anything to these guys, I don't think they need to hear it from the coach that this is a revenge game. I mean, they got their asses whooped a couple weeks ago. There's a lot of pride involved in that.
I agree. And Jeff, they saw what we all saw with all those guys jumping up and down the sidelines.
Exactly.
Like, they saw it, yeah.
Exactly. So, also to your main question about coincidence or not, I think it was a total coincidence because there's one thing that happened yesterday that has not happened in the previous seven games or whatever. Both sides of the line, offensive line, defensive line, played way better than they have all year long. And I think that is what set the tone for this butt-whooping we put on them yesterday. Not that A.J. was not on the field. And I don't think there's any scenario where this team is better off if A.J.'s not here.
So I would agree with you, Jeff, for this year's roster, right? Like, if you told me someone offered a first-round pick for A.J. right now, I think that makes them a better organization. Like, they'll get a first-round pick for a player who probably doesn't want to be here anyway as time goes on. But that wouldn't increase their odds for this season, right? Because it would subtract the player and they wouldn't be able to get a player until, you know, the first round next year. So I think he's going to be here by next Tuesday. I don't think they're going to trade him.
I do, too.
Yeah,
I hope he is.
But it does feel to me like the messaging this weekend was, I was waiting to hear them saying, we're not trading A.J. Brown. And that's not the way they framed it. They framed it as, we don't want to, but, hey, call with your best offer and we'll listen.
I tend to not listen to that too much because you don't know what their real intentions are. No one really knows. And what are they going to – I mean, are they going to say, no, we're not trading him? Or I don't think they would want to say anything either way. So I look at it as a neutral thing where they're safe by saying what they said and people can figure it out for themselves. I just think that if A.J. didn't put these tweets out and whatever, we still don't know what really goes on in that locker room. I mean, we're just really speculating on what he's trying to say.
Of course.
And I just don't like to go down that road with a player that's as good as he is and decide whether we're going to trade him based on what we're hearing from him and not him alone.
Yeah.
And it's cryptic all the time, too. That's what drives me nuts.
Always. It always is. But that's where this has come from. And, Jeff, good phone call. I mean, like, I don't think the Eagles want to move on from A.J. Brown. I don't think that at all. I mean, again, Hugh, they just re-signed him before last season. They committed to him. They want him here. He's obviously a really good football player, even if he's not quite as great as he was 2 years ago or a year ago. But this is about him, right? Like, if he doesn't want to be here, I don't think they're going to force it. Like, that's it.
No, and we are all recklessly speculating about, you know, the dynamic. Because the one thing that he's been passive-aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fact. You can't argue that. But it hasn't been that disruptive. It's been disruptive to us because, you know, we talk about it all the time and the fans talk about, you know, we trying to run folks out of town and all the other stuff. And I'm like, no, dog, we talk about what's to be talked about. The thing that I find ironic is this, is that if you don't want to be talked about, don't do nothing to be talked about.
I mean, reason we're talking about.
Yeah.
Again, so the people, you know, this always happens where a reporter will do their job, right? And then someone will get mad at the reporter doing their job. Diana Rossini talked to Jeff Lurie last week.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked the question, if A.J. Brown asked for a trade, what would be your response? Guys, if there was nothing going on here, wouldn't Jeff Lurie say, why would A.J. Brown ask for a trade? Like, she didn't ask that question about Saquon Barkley. She didn't ask that question about Jalen Hurts. The question wasn't asked about Jalen Carter. The question was, like, Jeff Lurie could have responded, I'd be shocked if A.J. Brown asked for a trade.
Or better yet, why are you asking me that question?
Right.
A.J.'s not going anywhere.
Where would that come from? But there's obviously something going on that Jeff Lurie heard the question and answered it with, we'll do what's best for the Philadelphia Eagles.
And let's not forget that the quarterback himself said he was asked a question about, do you see some of the cryptic tweets that A.J. puts out? And he was like, yeah, I'm aware of them.
Yeah, I'm prepared.
So
yeah.
They know something's going on. So y'all need to just, you know, some of y'all need to just stop denying the fact that there's something happening and you just, you know, quit poo-pooing on other people's takes about these.
Oh, I mean, look, something is clearly going on here. It's a matter of can they get through this season with him or are they going to move on? I mean, that is what the next 8 days are going to be around the NFL. Paul is up on WIP. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Paul. What's up?
Yeah, I just want to call in sort of defense of AJ. Mm-hmm. I think he's a new player from a new generation, and he's spoken about his struggles with his mental depression. And I think what happens is he comes off a game where he's not playing, doesn't get as many catches, and his own self-worth is down. And then he expresses it in this media stuff that exists, that's just there when he goes home, whereas in normal generations, they didn't have that outlet and would be gone, you know? And I think we got to cut him some slack. And when you hear Elliot, when he's on in the morning show, he says he's great in the locker room, right? There's no problems in the locker room. It's only happening out here. And he brings upon himself. I'm not digging on you guys for speculating on this, because that's what we do here, right? But he's a new player in a new time, and this is what we're going to see.
So, Paul, I agree with your overarching point. Like, this is a different kind of world we live in, right, with younger kids or people. They act differently when they're upset, and it's more passive aggressive. Paul, you're right, and Elliot has said that many times, and he's around the team way more than the rest of us. He says his teammates generally seem to like him, right? He's gregarious with them. Like, there's not, like, animosity. It's not, like, an angry locker room. But, Paul, I'll say this on the other side of it. Not that he's a bad dude, and I understand what you're saying, but if he's bringing the energy of the group or making it harder on the offense just to function because they're worried about how he's going to feel, it is a challenge. Like, Paul, I don't think they want to get rid of him, but if he's not going to be happy here, they're not going to keep him against his will. At some point, this is going to end either way.
I don't think that's happening, right? And you take that from what is Jalen's main focus every day, right? To win. That's all he cares about. If all he cares about winning, he's not going to feed AJ just to make AJ happy when he has another choice that's going to help him win more.
Well, I agree with that. I think that's been part of the issue. I think you're right. I don't think Jalen wants to force him the ball. I think that AJ gets upset when he only has two catches.
I think he does, too. Like, he does. But I think the way he gets up and the way it gets manifested is something we just have to cut him some more slack for than we would normally somebody else.
So Paul, if he wasn't playing football and he was just a regular everyday person, don't you think that he would probably have to get help for that? Because let's be honest, if he worked in the regular workforce and he was acting like this at his job, the passive aggressive at his job, how long do you think his job would tolerate that?
I think that's something that everybody's facing right now.
You're right. And that's why, you know, I always try to give AJ grace. But at some point, if it's becoming disruptive, either you got to do one or two things. Got to let him go or get him help. That's the bottom line. I mean, this is the bottom line business. I hear what you're saying.
I hope he is getting help. I do. I hope he's seeing somebody, he's talking to somebody. I do. I agree with you.
No. And I get what you're saying, man, because there's been times where I've been real measured in some of my criticisms of AJ. But at the end of the day, if we have a well-oiled machine that's going on here, and if you're struggling, let's just say he's struggling with whatever it is he's struggling with, you have to identify that and go get help. It's not – we live in an era nowadays, especially since you say these kids are different. We live in an era nowadays where it's okay to ask for help. You know what I mean? Especially if you know it's something that is potentially disruptive and can cause you harm or cause you to lose your job. It's okay to ask for help.
I agree. And I do hope he's talking to somebody. And he may be. We don't know that.
Yeah, you know? We don't know. And to be fair, we don't know. We just hear recklessly speculate like we do.
Paul, good phone call. I also think it's fair to say, and again, we know AJ Brown, there's been stuff out there over the past years. He's gone through some stuff, right? Like, and if he needs help, he should get help. There's nothing wrong with how you feel, Hugh, but there is a way you have to act. Regardless of what you're going through, there's a way you have to act when you're part of a team or you're in a workplace. Like, you could feel whatever you want, but you got to act a certain way.
Well, and it's just like working here. If I was dealing with some certain things and it was disruptive to the collective, then the organization, the company is going to have to make a decision. Or me, either they're going to give me the help that I need or they're going to get me the hell up out of here. I mean, and that's just how it works. I know it sounds cruel and it doesn't sound fair, but that's just how life works.
Yeah, I said this for the fifth time today. I don't think the Eagles want to move off A.J. Brown. I don't think that is what they intend to do here. But if he does, this really comes back to, does A.J. Brown want to be here? And if he's here, is he going to be on board with team first? If the answer to that is yes, he wants to be here, team first, then they're not moving him. But if he doesn't want to be here, or it's about him over the team, do not be surprised when he's not here very shortly. I don't know if it's by next Tuesday, but it certainly would be by this offseason. And one last thing on this. Well, not last thing, because we have a whole week. But one other thing on this. Has anyone seen Devontae Smith's production? It's 430 yards the last 4 weeks. Is it worth it to have your number two receiver? Because that's what AJ's been this year. Look at the numbers. He's the number two receiver who makes over $30 million a year and seemingly is perpetually not happy. He hasn't been their number one this year. We could say he is, but who gets the ball more?
If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. And I think a lot of times, first, let me say this, because I know no matter how many times you say it, nobody's going to hear it. Nobody's trying to run AJ out of town. I mean, but you have to think about these things logically. And right now, if you're sitting back and you're looking at this team, was that my phone?
Yeah.
I think so.
That was not my phone.
Yeah.
Why'd you have to ask? You know.
It wasn't because I'm not even touching my phone.
Most
but can I make my point, please? I'm trying to make my
your
point.
Your phone interrupted you. You interrupted yourself. We were all listening.
But
I'm mad at y'all because y'all blame me for something I didn't do. But anyway, the point that I'm making is this. If we're in a situation where we have somebody that's disgruntled and he's here and we have a chance to upgrade our team, then why not? And we also are in a situation now. I'm not saying either one of those receivers, Dotson or the other one that could potentially
Mechie,
they're not AJ Brown.
Well, of course not. Yeah.
But if we can get a pass rusher, if we can get a decent pass, because you're not going to find one off the street. If we can get a decent pass rusher, would you think about doing that?
Yes. I mean, yeah, if you could get a big-time caliber pass rusher or a corner.
And you know it's funny because I can hear Ike saying it in my ear right now. Dog, we ain't going nowhere without AJ. I hear him, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't know because if we bolster that defense, like we still got Sashaun Barkley. We still got Barkley.
And did you know what I saw in the offense yesterday? I know it was without him. They had more six offensive line sets with only two receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to do more of that, the need for three receivers on the field, obviously they're not going to. That's a two receiver set. Like you could get by more with less at receiver.
And again,
if that's the way you're going to run your offense.
I'm not like okay. You got to ask yourself as Eagles. I'm not trying to run AJ out of town. I'm going to say that again.
But many disagree.
The headline on the Odyssey app is Hugh Douglas. I'm running AJ out of town.
You know what? Because the people that think I'm trying to run him out of town, they're stupid and they don't have vision. That's what that is.
Because
if they don't have vision. That's harsh, man.
If you're in a situation where we just called Brandon Graham off the couch to come in and bolster our pass rush, if somebody called you today, who is the young pass rusher from? I know it's not going to happen from Denver.
Nick Benito?
Benito. Oh,
they're 6-2.
Kyle, that's why I said I know it's not going to happen.
But yes, I would.
Say if somebody called you with a young up and comer of that caliber, you wouldn't think about that. You wouldn't consider that, especially with where the team looks like it could potentially be now. And we need to boast our pass rush.
Yeah, it's a deal.
Yeah,
for me.
Well, know you, Joe. You going?
While we're being messy, is the real non coincidence here 2 weeks no Cam Jurgens?
Ooh.
Best offense that we've seen all season.
I mean, we're recklessly speculating.
Are you starting the Brett Toth?
that
we have a center controversy.
A little bit warm. He did get a nice little block to spring Saquon on that one run, though.
I think to what you just said, it's pretty clear he hasn't been right physically this year, Cam Jurgens. And I don't think Toth is better, but he might be healthier, so he's playing better.
Not a coincidence.
A little center controversy. What do the people want? Center controversy or trade talk? 215-592.
WIP, at it again.
94-94. Listen, my eyes didn't lie. That was the best offensive game I've seen the entire season. Your eyes told you the same thing. Now, you might pretend it's not true, but that is what your eyes saw. You could lie to yourself. We all do it sometimes. I'm not going to do it today. 215-592-9494. All right, lots to unpack here. Are the Eagles fully back? I believe they are as we head towards the bye week. Trade deadline a week from tomorrow. And the A.J. Brown situation, was that a coincidence? I don't think it was. I think it was a concerted effort to run the offense. A lot more stuff under center, a lot of quick hitting. I haven't seen the numbers yet. I can't wait to see Jalen's time to throw yesterday. I'm going to imagine it was the quickest he got the ball out of his hands the entire game or entire season yesterday without A.J. Brown on the field. Your reaction to all that? Plus, we'll get to the other star in town that is unhappy, Bryce Harper. Latest chapter in the Nebraska Boris Harper controversy. Bryce Harper fired back, not even just anonymously. He fired back with his own quotes to The Athletic this weekend. We'll unpack the Bryce Harper situation as it stands. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. The FanDuel Sportsbook app, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is your home for all your favorite NFL bets, from yards to touchdowns to who will win. Would FanDuel any play can be the play of the game. Tonight, FanDuel is giving all customers a 30% profit boost token. That's right. You can get in on the action with a 30% PBT this Monday night. So make FanDuel your go-to app for any snap. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to bet on the game. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting part of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jonah Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.